Guys, you know it's pretty casual, okay, when you're rocking a Coca-Cola shirt here for Pigskin Frenzy live on video. If you're listening on, you know, listening on audio, I'm wearing a red Coca-Cola shirt. If you're watching on YouTube, I'm wearing a red Coca-Cola shirt, all right? You see it. This is as casual as it's going to get, right? Just rocking a Coca-Cola t-shirt while sitting down, talking on my mic headphones here in the Pigskin Frenzy area, doing Pigskin Frenzy. So, listen, enjoy yourself. That's all I got to say. Just enjoy yourself. And this is me enjoying myself while talking about the sport that I love and doing the thing that I love, and that is Pigskin Frenzy. So with that being said, welcome to Pigskin Frenzy on this wonderful and, you know, pretty warm Tuesday afternoon here in Illinois. Thank you for joining us. I'm Joel Norris. And whether you're watching on YouTube, listening on Spotify, listening on Podbean, listening on Apple, a big thank you for taking some time out of your Tuesday to just sit back, watch, and listen to some college football coverage presented by me. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, like each episode, leave comments down below. Spotify, Podbean, and Apple, all you have to do is just share around with others and follow on there as well. Instagram, X, Facebook, all you have to do is type in Pigskin Frenzy. Follow, like the pages there. You will get episode updates. You will get news and highlights from across college and NFL football. You will get trivia questions on Instagram stories, go and answer today's, as well as all things up to date for Pigskin Frenzy. Also, check out the new website, www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com. Leave messages, leave comments in the home and about me area or down below the home and about me area. You can go and look at, you know, look at my story and how I came to be the Pigskin Frenzy podcast host that I am right now. It shows, you know, like a bio about myself. There's affiliations which we're about to get to here in a little bit. There is a store coming soon. It's not on there yet, but it is coming soon. We're going to create Pigskin Frenzy merchandise, and that is where it will be for future purchases. Store is coming soon. All that and more on the Pigskin Frenzy website. That's www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com. Guys, speaking of the affiliations, announcement. This is a big announcement here for Pigskin Frenzy. A big shout out, a big thank you to our brand new affiliates, our brand new sponsors, and our brand new partnerships with the Beard Club, our brand new partner, the Beard Club. If you guys want a nice clean shave, or if you want your beard and your facial hair to be designed, you know, to the brim, this is the people, this is the company, this is the guys to order from, thebeardclub.com. Go and order on there, www.thebeardclub.com. Shop there and get your facial hair needs, your grooming needs met, and your beard needs met. If you want your beard, you know, beard needs met, you go to thebeardclub.com and purchase there. There will be a link with Pigskin Frenzy here shortly. I don't have anything yet. We just finalized everything. I'm here to announce it. The Pigskin Frenzy and Beard Club partnership here right now. We are partners with the Beard Club. Shout out to them and a big thank you for being partners with Pigskin Frenzy. Now, guys, let's talk about some college football. I am ready to talk about some college football. I'm ready to, you know, dive deep in continuing our list of the top games of the 2023 college football season, Pigskin Frenzy's list of top games or top 50 games of the 2023 college football season, 30 through 21. We're getting closer and closer to that number one spot. In about 3 to 4 weeks, we will be done with this list, and then we will head into spring football. And I cannot wait for that as well. I'm excited about college football. I am ready to rock and roll and finish this list and get ready for spring and get ready for our spring outlooks here on Pigskin Frenzy. But with this list, let's start it. Let's kick it off with number 30. And it's an interesting game. Number 30 is, it's Texas at Houston. And it was a very interesting game, Houston, in the Big 12 right now. And it's a very unique game that transpired. Texas at Houston, very back and forth until the very end. Dana Holgorsen, with a minute left, was trying to tie the game up at the very end of the game. Turnover on downs happened, and Texas beat Houston 31-24. And this game is number 30 on my list. Why? Because it was a back-and-forth football affair, guys. It was a very back-and-forth contest between the two teams. Houston gave it all they had for 60 minutes. 60 minutes of football, Houston gave it all they had. Former head coach Danner Holgorsen was trying to lead a game-tying drive down the field, and it didn't work out. But let me go on and tell you something. They pushed, defensively pushed Quinn Ewers and that Texas offense to the limit. That offense has Xavier Worthy, A.D. Mitchell, Jatavion Sanders, got some weapons up front, and they got a weapon, especially with Jonathan Brooks. They got Jonathan Brooks at running back for Texas in that game before he suffered a season-ending injury a few weeks later. But when you look at everything, when you see it, Houston was giving it everything they got on both sides of the football. At the very end, Texas stepped up and was more physical in the end and ended up beating Houston, like I said, 31-24. That's why this game's 30 on my list, because of how unexpected and how, you know, how unexpected the result, not really the result was, how unexpected the game turned out to be and how close that game was. You really didn't expect Houston to be in this one. You thought Texas, who was going to be potentially the Big 12 champion and potentially, and at that time we already, you know, we kind of know now that they, where they went, but a playoff contender, right? And you didn't expect Houston to be pushing them to their limit like that, but they did. They pushed Texas to their limit on both sides of the ball. Offense, defense, you know what, all around as well, and even in special teams. They were a physical football team, and they played physical football with Texas, who was also a very physical football team. We're going to see more about that in the SEC in 2024 for Texas. But Houston, they were a solid team with Dana Holgorsen. They played a really, really good game against Texas. 31-24. 31-24 was the final. The game's number 30 because of how close it was. Very close football game. I enjoyed watching it. It was back and forth, and I was on the edge of my seat. I thought Houston was going to honestly tie it up, but Texas ended up turning the ball over on downs. Texas at Houston. Texas defeated Houston 31-24. That is number 30 on our list of top 50 games of the 2023 college football season. Let's move over to number 29. I know that was a little bit faster than anticipated going over the 29, but let's go over to 29 on our list. And 29 is Georgia at Georgia Tech in Bobby Dodd Stadium in Atlanta. Man, this was a close game. And the thing is, you didn't expect it to be close. Georgia Tech played with a bunch of young players, too, took Georgia to their limit. They really did. The final score of that game was Georgia 31, Georgia Tech 20, 31-20, closer game than advertised. It was a two-score game, but Georgia and Georgia Tech, it was a closer game than advertised, and they took it to their limit. And let me go on and tell you something, man. It was a very close game, back and forth between those two teams. Haynes King was dropping good throws on Georgia's defense, and Georgia had to clean some stuff up a little bit because this was a week before they were scheduled to play Alabama in the SEC championship. So this game was a learning curve a little bit for Georgia, but Georgia found their way to win. They muscled up enough for them to get the win and walk out of Bobby Dodd Stadium as winners. But Georgia Tech poured it on them, just like Houston did with Texas, in their game. I mean, Georgia Tech played a very close game against the reigning defending national champions who hadn't lost in 2 years, right? So up until that point, hadn't lost in 2 years. So Georgia Tech gave it their all. Haynes King, Eric Singleton, those guys were amazing on offense for the Yellow Jackets. They ran their playbook well. They confused Georgia. They gave Georgia different looks in that game, and they just kept pressuring them and kept putting pressure on them. And Georgia was feeling a little bit pressured by the Yellow Jackets. At the end of the day, Georgia was still Georgia. Georgia ended up winning this game 31-20 because they were a little bit more physical than Georgia Tech at the very end. I think Georgia presented a physical challenge that Georgia Tech hadn't seen in the very end. And at the very end of the game, Georgia ended up beating the Yellow Jackets because of that physical presence. that a lot of people that, I mean, that Georgia Tech hadn't really seen from anybody else yet. And that's how I think Georgia won this game and escaped with a victory here. But Georgia Tech was fighting. They showed a lot of heart. They showed a lot of promise. And I'm kind of interested to see, and it makes you think a little bit, what's Georgia Tech going to do in the ACC this season? What are they going to look like? And you know what? I may do one of my spring outlooks on Georgia Tech, because I'm very curious to see what Georgia Tech is going to look like in the ACC coming up this season with Haynes King, Singleton, and all those guys coming back for Georgia Tech. So I'm kind of curious. I'm kind of curious to see what's going to happen. Georgia Tech, you know, ended up having a better season than advertised here in the ACC. They pushed the defending champion at that point to their limit. Final score of that game was 31-20. Georgia defeated Georgia Tech in Bobby Dodd Stadium, but they really pushed them to their limit. I'm curious to see what these two teams are going to look like. I know what Georgia's going to look like. Georgia's going to have potentially the entering the season, the preseason Heisman favorite in Carson Beck at quarterback back there. They're going to have they're going to have a lot of guys. They're going to have Dominic Lovett back. Ron Thomas is coming back. They have Oscar Delp at tight end, you know, coming back. They got a lot of guys coming back, especially on defense, including linebacker C.J. Allen coming back for this team. So Georgia's going to look good. They're going to look loaded. I'll do a spring outlook for them, but I'm very curious to see what Georgia Tech is going to look like in the ACC. Because after looking at this and after what Georgia Tech did to Georgia and, you know, pushing them to their limit, even though they lost, this is why this game is number 29, because they pushed them to their limit and made it a good game. If Georgia Tech has with the experience they got from this season, if they do that in 2024, what are they going to look like? They could win some games that you're not expecting them to win, right? So let's see what they do. Let's see how they do in spring. They didn't have that bad of a recruiting class either. So let's see what they do in the spring. I'm curious to see what Georgia Tech does. I'm curious to see what happens, coming up in the 2024 season. But this game was number 29 because of how competitive it was, and Georgia Tech really did push Georgia to their limit at home. Number 29, Georgia at Georgia Tech. Georgia defeated Georgia Tech 31-20, and it's number 29 because of how competitive the game was. So that was 30. That was 20. The game that we just talked about was 29. We just went over 30 with Texas at Houston. Let's talk about 28, which was a very, very down-to-the-wire game. UCF at Oklahoma, 28. UCF at Oklahoma. A lot of Big 12 here coming, man. UCF at Oklahoma. In that game was back and forth until the end. I thought it was going to take a two-point conversion to go into overtime with Oklahoma. But in the end, Brent Venables and OU got it done against the Knights and Gus Malzahn. Oklahoma defeated UCF 31-29 in a barn burner of a Big 12 game. Both teams going back and forth. UCF presenting a challenge to Oklahoma in their first meeting as Big 12, in their first and only meeting as Big 12 opponents. And let me go on and tell you something. OU, they were playing a good game, but it's UCF and Gus Malzahn and John Rhys Plumlee was presenting a challenge to Oklahoma. They were running the ball on well, throwing the ball on them well. It was back and forth. Defense, they played a little bit, they played really physical on defense against OU. And I think what's worrying about Oklahoma and what's worrying about people for Oklahoma going into 2024 is the physicality of everything, because can they really, you know, get over the hump physically going into the SEC? That, if that makes sense, that is what that's what I've been thinking about a little bit. And a game like this kind of just shows, you know, it kind of proves it a little bit and kind of makes you question things a little bit, because UCF was taking them to their limit. And don't get me wrong, UCF can be a very physical football team. Excuse me, not saying that at all. But when you look at the teams in the SEC compared to UCF, they're a lot more physical in the SEC than they are down in Orlando and down in the Big 12. Nothing taken away from that. Big 12's got some physical football, but not as physical as the SEC. Can Oklahoma match that intensity up front physically? I think in this game, they were challenged by UCF physically, just like they were challenged physically by Arizona, who was coming into the Big 12 in 2024. But OU, physically, was getting challenged in this game. Did OU win the game? Yes, because OU outmatched them a little bit better. But UCF, presented a really good challenge in this game. It took one two-point conversion to tie the game up, and it failed. A failed two-point conversion ended the game and iced the game for OU, and OU played some good defense. Billy Bowman, heck of a job coming back, heck of a job back there for the two-point conversion, and he's coming back in the 2024 season and for his only season in the SEC this season. I mean, UCF at Oklahoma, 28-31-29. Oklahoma defeated UCF. It's 28 because of how back and forth the game was. It was a back and forth game between both teams. I enjoyed it. It was kind of a fun little game there between both teams. So, final score of this game was 31-29. UCF at Oklahoma. Oklahoma defeated UCF, 28. UCF at Oklahoma. And honestly, it shows really, and it puts a question, what's UCF going to do in the Big 12? They lost John Rhys Plumlee. They're going to have a new starting quarterback coming in. What's UCF going to look like? What are they going to look like in the Big 12? Especially with the preseason favorites in Utah, because Utah's going to be the preseason favorite to win the Big 12 championship. We're going to have our conference standings on that later in the summer. OU, I mean, what's OU going to look like going in the SEC? Because games like this make you question everything. If UCF's going to outmatch them physically or getting close or match up and level with them up physically, what's it going to look like in the SEC where they're a little bit more physical than the teams in the Big 12 and or UCF? So it's going to be kind of hard to sit there and say, you know, it's going to be kind of hard to see. So UCF at OU is number 28, where Oklahoma defeated UCF 31-29 in a back-and-forth game off of a failed two-point conversion. That was it's honestly one of those things where you look at it and you're like, oh, man, you want them to make it so bad. You really want them to make it so bad to make the game even more entertaining. But it ended. They iced it. Oklahoma iced it 31-29. They defeated UCF in that one. Now, that game was number 28. Let's go over to number 27 in a game that was very entertaining. And I actually had the losing team winning this game. But 27, Clemson at Miami. It was a back-and-forth game, went into double overtime, but Clemson could not hold on. Miami defeated Clemson 28-20 in double overtime, back-and-forth. The running game was a big issue, for Clemson's defense. They really could not stop Miami's running game and their ground attack, and Miami played a hard-fought, a hard-fought game in this one, played them really good up front, and ran the ball really, really well against Clemson's defense. Will Shipley had a good game. I thought that Clemson looked really good in that game, but it was an entertaining game because it was back and forth until the very end. They took double overtimes for Miami to pull out the win. I picked Clemson to win that game. I was wrong about that game, obviously, but as I thought Clemson was going to be do enough, and especially on the ground, to get them by and to win this game. Klubnik had a turnover or two. Shipley was playing really good on the ground, but it wasn't enough because Miami's defense caught on, and Miami's defense played really physical in the very end and got the Hurricanes a win 28-20 in double overtime. I like this game at 27 because of, like I said, how competitive it was. Double overtime, man. Double overtime. It was electric. It was electric in Miami. Double overtime, like I said, and it was back and forth. It really showed what Miami is capable of, right? If you look back on these games and you look like, how is this going to bleed into the next season? They play Clemson tough. They beat Clemson in double overtime. They played Florida State really tough. They played North Carolina tough. How is this going to bleed in to next season in the ACC? How is this going to bleed in for Miami? Miami had a really solid recruiting class also. Top four in 2024 this season in the recruiting class this year. Top four. How is this going to bleed into next season? And that's what I look at when you look at Miami. When you look at, let me raise it up on YouTube. When you look at the U, right? When you look at the U and that brand of football, how is this going to play in to 2024. When you look at games like this, it shows promise, right? It shows that what Mario Cristobal is doing is he's slowly but surely building something up there. And I think why this game was so important for Miami to get the win here was because it slowly builds on their program in the future of a rebuilding season for them. So I think that's what happens. You know, that's what Miami side of things. When you look at Clemson side of things, you almost go back to the drawing board a little bit. Listen, Dabo Swinney is a solid football head coach. Clemson is a solid football program. Because of Dabo Swinney, they've won multiple national championships, okay? They've won two national championships. They're a solid football team, man. And when you look at everything, solid football team, two national championships under Dabo Swinney, man. But when you look at everything, I think what this proves is that talent can be catching up to Clemson in a way because of A, the transfer portal, and B, recruiting. They're recruiting at a high level still. They're recruiting in the top 10 still, or out. And this year it was right outside of the top 10, rather. But in the transfer portal, that's a special need for them that they need to try to capitalize on. And it's looking like that they're not capitalizing on those needs, right? So I think for Clemson, what you can learn from this is build up your team more. Build it up more in the transfer portal and recruiting and match the level of talent that Miami is getting. Because Miami is starting to leap over a few schools, including Clemson, in talent level because of what they're using in the portal and because of what they're using in recruiting. So when you look at it, it's a tale of two ends right now. But Clemson's looking like they can rise up to the occasion, but they're starting to dip a little bit, not too much, but they dipped a little bit from recent seasons. Miami is slowly but surely building up because this win right here was needed for them in double overtime. Back and forth game, the running game for Clemson was solid. Miami's defense stepped up at the end and closed the gap a little bit for, you know, in double overtime, iced the game, and Miami got the win 28-20 in double overtime at home. This is the reason why it's 27, because of how good of a college football game that was. Very underrated that weekend, and double overtime win for Miami, back and forth on both ends, physical football on both ends as well from both teams. So number 27, Clemson at Miami, where Miami defeated Clemson 28-20 in double overtime. Number 26 on this list, and you're going to think this is a unique one, Baylor at UCF, another UCF game. And Baylor defeated UCF 36-35. The craziest thing happened in this game. It was a fourth down and like, if I remember correctly, let me look on my notes here. It was fourth down and very long. And the it was, you know, Tyler McClain was going backwards and he was going real, you know, going real far, you know, real far, scrambling around, trying to, look around, see if anybody was open. And it was just, you know, it was going, right? It was just going. So I'm looking at my notes here. If you look at it, the big play, you know, that happened with McClain, right? So Timmy McClain, you know, wild fourth down scramble from Timmy McClain, quarterback for UCF, who could be starting next year, do not know yet, but we'll have to do a spring outlook on them as well. But scrambling around, Baylor was all over him. He broke away from tackles, couldn't find anybody open. He really could not find anybody open. Threw it, wild, long fourth down, and he converted on first down. It was a great call on Fox. If you go and look at the play on YouTube, if you hadn't seen it, great play that I saw, and it was a wild effort from UCF, a really, really good effort from UCF here. Good play, fourth down, long scramble, first down. I think it was a back and forth game until the very end, both physical on both ends. Baylor just ended up, you know, being a little bit more physical than UCF and capitalized on this win here and got the win over UCF. I think that play had a lot to do with how the game was going. You know what I mean? It was back and forth. UCF was playing teams close in that conference. Couldn't get the job done, unfortunately, but UCF, with that wild scramble play, I think that's a big reason why that this game was 26 on my list because of how close the game was, how exciting and how fun, because of plays like that, the game was. And this is why it was 26, right? Because of games like that, how close drives were like that, how back and forth it was between both teams. So Baylor at UCF, where Baylor defeated UCF 36-35, is at 26 because of how close the game was. That was number 26 on my list. Another one, number 25, another one from the Big 12, is BYU at Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State needed to win this one here. They came off of a huge win against Oklahoma before in Bedlam. And, you know, the last battle in Bedlam game in the Big 12 for a little bit. Oklahoma State came off a huge win. And what happened was they weren't expecting the game to be, you know, this close against BYU, but here we are. BYU, another team coming in from the independents and, you know, joining a conference, and they joined the Big 12, right? The Big 12. And a lot of people didn't expect, you know, UCF to compete against anybody. They surely didn't expect BYU to compete with everybody, but BYU did. BYU showed a lot of promise, and they're probably going to show a lot of promise in the Big 12 as well. So, or this season as well. So, BYU at Oklahoma State, needed this one to clinch a Big 12 championship berth, and they got the win to do it. Oklahoma State defeated BYU 40-34 in double overtime. It took double overtime to put the Cougars away for the Cowboys. BYU played a heck of a game, back and forth game on both ends of the ball. It was a real exciting game. You were on the edge of your seat a little bit, and I was on the edge of my seat wondering, is Oklahoma State going to clinch its berth, or are we going to have to go back to the drawing board a little bit? Because I was a little worried. It was in Stillwater. BYU was not letting up. They were going to try to upset them and walk away and walk out of Stillwater with a huge win. I was wondering what was going down. I really was. Anthony Bowman, the quarterback, he played a lights out game. Of course, Ollie Gordon, you know, at running back, the highest graded and best returning running back in the college football, Ollie Gordon the second, running the ball, you know, lights out for the Cowboys for Oklahoma State. 40-34, back and forth affair in double overtime. It took double overtime to put BYU away. And it shows a lot about what BYU can be capable of in this conference going into this season for sure, when you look back on this game. For Oklahoma State, you know, the Big 12 runner-ups, they look like they're going to be at the top of the food chain along with Utah, right? Oklahoma State and Utah. You got incredible coaches in there coming into the Big 12. You got Deion Sanders at Colorado, Mike Gundy at Oklahoma State. I mean, you got Chris Klieman at Kansas State, Lance Leipold at Kansas, Kyle Whittingham at Utah. I mean, Brent Brennan at Arizona. And you got a lot of guys in the Big 12 who are coming in. It's going to be a really competitive conference this season. Games like this show why, you know, letting in and going into next season, what you can look forward to and go, okay, you know, like, you know, who there's going to be some teams, especially in these conferences, that you don't really know about yet, and they shock you. BYU was one of those teams. BYU could be at the top of the food chain in the Big 12 this year, and we don't even know yet. So I'm going to do a spring outlook on BYU as well. They look good, man. They look good in that game. It showed a lot of promise, but in the end, Oklahoma State just kind of outmatched them, had a little bit more talent on the field, and ended up icing the game to clinch a Big 12 championship spot against Texas. So final score of that game was 40-34 in double overtime. Oklahoma State defeated BYU in a barn burner, back and forth barn burner between both teams. Now, number 24 on this list, as we, you know, edge closer and closer, we got four more games: 24, 23, 22, and 21. So 24 was the Apple Cup, Washington State at Washington. And back and forth game, Michael Penix was doing well. Cam Ward was doing well for Washington State, who is now transferred to Miami. He is Miami's new quarterback. So transferred to the U, Miami, for Cam Ward. Going to be interesting there. See what he does with Miami. So Washington at Washington, Washington State at Washington in the Apple Cup. Back and forth there. Kicked field goal in the end. Washington did. Gross kicked the field goal. Washington got the win. 24-21. Washington defeated Washington State and ended up creating some magic there, guys. Creating some magic in, you know, for the Apple Cup. Washington State could have upset them. There was a lot of teams against Washington on their schedule that were close to upsetting them. Arizona State, Utah, and now you can add Washington State to the list, right? So Washington State was a team on that list where, honestly, that game was on Friday, Saturday could have gone either way. It really could have. It could have ended, you know, badly for Washington, but Washington got the win and pushed their way towards the Pac-12 title game and pushed their way towards the college football playoffs. So close game, back and forth on both ends. A really good quarterback duel between Cam Ward and Michael Penix Jr. Michael Penix Jr. now off to the NFL. Cam Ward was going to go to the NFL, but instead undeclared and ended up transferring to Miami. He really wanted to transfer, but didn't feel like he didn't know where to go, and then ended up going to try to declare for the draft. Cam Ward ended up finding a home in Miami and is now with the Hurricanes for the 2024 season. Back and forth quarterback duel between two teams in the Apple Cup. Let's see if they deliver some magic this year, you know, in the Apple Cup between two teams, Washington State and Washington. 24-21, Washington defeated Washington State. That game was 24 because of how much of a barn burner it was. Back and forth affair between those two teams. Number 23, and you're going to find this one kind of interesting. Number 23 is Western Kentucky versus Old Dominion in the famous Toastery Bowl. You're going to think, what? Really? Yeah, I'm going to add it to the list. 23, because Old Dominion was up so much. They were up 28-0 or 28-3 at half. They were dominating the whole game. They dominated Western Kentucky Hilltoppers the whole game in the Toastery Bowl. And then all of a sudden, Western Kentucky ended up, you know, going off in the second half. They sparked a comeback. Sure, did Old Dominion score more? Yes, they did score a little bit more, but Western Kentucky kept pushing it back and back and back and back. Let's talk about this game because let's go. I got some notes here. Let's go by the notes. Caden Veltkamp in this game was incredible for Western Kentucky. He threw his lights out against Old Dominion to march off that comeback. He had 19 carries, 53 yards in this game. Throwing, though, he was 40 for 52. 40 completions out of 52 attempts, 383 yards, and 5 touchdowns. 5 touchdowns in this game, 383 yards back and forth against Old Dominion. Old Dominion, if you want to go to the stats here, quarter-by-quarter stats, Old Dominion literally was up. They scored 7 points. So Western, it was, you know, 28-7 at half. Old Dominion was up 28-7 and a half. You thought the game was over. They both tied it up, honestly. Even pretty even in the third quarter. Both scored 7. It was 14-35. Old Dominion didn't score another point after that. Didn't score a point in the fourth quarter. Didn't score another point in overtime. They were scoreless in the fourth quarter as Western Kentucky put up 21 unanswered in the fourth to march a comeback and go into overtime. Old Dominion got the ball. They were stopped. Western Kentucky got the ball, drove down the field, and kicked the field goal to ice the game and make it 38-35. It was a blowout in the first half, and then in the fourth quarter, Old Dominion just shut down, didn't have an answer. An incredible comeback by Western Kentucky, and this is why this game on my list is number 23, because of how back and forth, how unique the game was. Caden Veltkamp is a guy that you should watch out for Western Kentucky. 5 touchdowns in this game. He marched an incredible comeback. You didn't think Western Kentucky was going to do it, but they did. And that was what was so incredible about, you know, this game. It was so incredible about it is because you didn't expect them to come back like they did, and they did. It was 28-7, and the game ended 38-35 at the end of the game. 28-7 and a half, Old Dominion was blowing them out, beating the brakes off of them, and then Western Kentucky came back and defeated them 38-35 in overtime to win the Toastery Bowl. You can't make this stuff up. You really can't make this stuff up. 38-35, Western Kentucky defeated Old Dominion. It's 23 because of the remarkable comeback that Caden Veltkamp and the Hilltoppers put up with and came back against. They beat all the odds, won their bowl game, and now you got nothing to say. Old Dominion lost, and Old Dominion took their foot off the gas, and Western Kentucky capitalized on them taking their foot off the gas. So, number 23, Western Kentucky versus Old Dominion in the famous Toastery Bowl, where Western Kentucky defeated Old Dominion 38-35 in overtime after an impressive comeback in this bowl game. So number 23 is that one. Number 22 and 21, we're down to the last two before we conclude today's episode of Pigskin Frenzy. Number 22, Florida at Missouri. Missouri defeated Florida 33-31. Did Florida compete? Yes, they did. They had a tough stretch at the end. Just like going into 2024, Florida has another tough stretch. The key difference maker was Cody Schrader in this one. Cody Schrader has been a key difference maker in a lot of their games this season for Missouri. He was a key difference maker in this game. He ran really, really well against Florida, and they ended up defeating Florida at home 33-31. Florida was competing, though. That was the thing. Florida kept competing. They competed against LSU. They still lost. They competed with Georgia in the first half. They ended up getting blown out in the second, but they lost that one. They competed against Florida State, but Florida State still found a way to beat them in Gainesville. So when you look at everything, you're like, oh, man. Florida is competing, but they're still losing these games. The reason why this game was so good is because Florida did compete. What made it unique, though, was at the end of the game was already over. Missouri won. The fans were clearing out. Then the refs announced Florida has to come back out and attempt a field goal, which could end up Florida, winning this ball game, right? The attempt was made, and Florida ended up missing the field goal, and Florida ended up losing this ball game, 33-31, and Missouri defeated Florida. A field goal when nobody was there after the game was ruled over, they just decided, hey, another field goal at the very end of the game. Much like the USC and Cal game at halftime, where, after a full halftime, the refs determined that there was a field goal that was, not made in the second quarter. They put the second quarter back up, and it was a last-second field goal and gave USC some points, right? So, halftime happened, and then the game went on. But kind of like that, but at the very end of the game, Florida misses. Missouri ends up winning the game anyway. Missouri defeats Florida 33-31 in a highly entertaining and competitive game between two teams. Both of those teams were very competitive. Both of those teams were played very physical football. I think Cody Schrader was the difference maker in this game, and Florida really just could not stop Cody Schrader and his ground attack. So Missouri ended up winning this game in a close one, very entertaining game, back and forth, where Missouri defeated Florida. So number 22, Florida at Missouri, where Missouri defeated Florida 33-31. Last game before we conclude today's episode of Pigskin Frenzy, number 21, Texas A&M at Ole Miss. Back and forth game. We honestly thought A&M on the road against top 25 AP opponents, winless on the road against top 25 AP opponents. They were going to try to find a way to get their first win under Jimbo Fisher, right? Under their first win against an AP top 25 team on the road with Jimbo Fisher against Ole Miss. They were playing really, really hard, played hard at the end. A&M scored. It was 34. It was 34-31. A&M was up on Ole Miss. It was, touchdown. Then Ole Miss ended up scoring late, making it 38-34. A&M was going to drive down they're trying to tie the game up. Or yeah, it was 30. I'm sorry. It was 35. It was 38-35. My fault on the score. 38-35. A&M, 38-35. A&M was going to try to tie the game up, kick a field goal, and they missed the field goal. Ole Miss wins the game at home, and it ends up Ole Miss beating A&M 38-35. So Ole Miss defeated Texas A&M 38-35. A&M had it. They missed the field goal and ended up losing to Ole Miss. Ole Miss and A&M were playing back and forth. They were going, you know, ball to ball, you know, quarter to quarter, physicality on both sides of the ball. They were going at it. A&M was a very physical football team. It was a game that Ole Miss could not overlook, but Ole Miss, you know, brought it to A&M. They really did. Showed a lot of people. They brought it to A&M. It was a game where the next week they were going to Athens, and they knew they were in a very, you know, very tough spot there because Georgia is a very physical football team. But what better way to test yourself in getting ready physically than competing with another physical football team the week before that one? So, and A&M was a very physical football team. Their physicality was really, really good. In the end, I think Ole Miss's offense was too much for, you know, A&M to handle, and I think that's what got Ole Miss the win. Ole Miss, you know, just kept going down the field. Their receivers were too much. Their rushing attack was too much. Jackson Dart was proving a little bit to be too much for A&M's defense, but A&M went down the field as well. Ole Miss's defense got put on their heels a little bit by A&M's offense. They went down the field to try to kick a field goal, and with the, you know, the leg wasn't there. The leg wasn't there. Sometimes it's not there, right? So 38-35, Ole Miss defeated Texas A&M. It was a back-and-forth game, very entertaining, and I think the entertaining aspect of it was, and this is why I put it at 21, was because what was on the line was if Ole Miss would have won this game, and Ole Miss would have beaten Georgia, and LSU would have beaten Alabama, Ole Miss would have won the SEC West, right? Ole Miss would have won the SEC West, and this is what was on the line for them. There was so much at stake in this game on their way to their first 11-win season in school history, right? So what was at stake was a shot at the SEC West, and what better way to do it than against an SEC West opponent? So very close game, back-and-forth game. Really, this game was won in the trenches. Was A&M a physical football team? Yes, but Ole Miss pushed them to their limit, which was very, very surprising because A&M was a very physical football team entering this game. And A&M didn't know what to do physically, but they also just couldn't contain Ole Miss's offense. So Judkins, useless Bentley the fourth, Trey Harris, Jordan Watkins, Jackson Dart, guys, Caden Creasporn. The final score of this game was 38-34, Ole Miss defeated A&M, or 38-35, Ole Miss defeated Texas A&M, and A&M missed the game-tying field goal to send it into overtime. That was 21 on our list, Texas A&M and Ole Miss, because it was a good game, and it was what was on the line for this game. That was why I put it at 21. So that was 30 through 21 of Pigskin Frenzy's top 50 games of the 2023 college football season. We will put 30 through 21 on Facebook, and we will put it on X for everybody to see. So go and like and follow the Pigskin Frenzy pages on there as well, and we will put the list on there tomorrow, which is Wednesday, tomorrow on there. So we are out of time. A big thank you for taking some time out of your Tuesday to just sit back, watch, and listen to some college football coverage presented by me. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, like each episode, leave comments down below. Spotify, Podbean, and Apple, all you have to do, just share around with others and follow on there as well. X, Instagram, and Facebook, all you got to do is type in Pigskin Frenzy, follow along the pages there. You will get episode updates. You will get news and highlights from across college and NFL football. You will get Instagram trivia questions on your Instagram stories. Go and answer today's trivia question as well as all things up to date for Pigskin Frenzy. Guys, website, www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com. Go and message me on there. I will be sure to respond back to you on the podcast or through email. Guys, a big thank you once again to our partners at the Beard Club. Go and shop for all your grooming and beard needs with the Beard Club. Guys, we will be back Thursday with results, physical and on-field results from the NFL Combine, the latest latest on the prospects for the 2024 NFL Draft, the latest on free agency as well, and some more news around the NFL for Thursday. And then next Tuesday, we will be back for our continuation of our top games, the top 50 games of the 2023 college football season list. We will be back with 20 through 11 for the college football 2023 college football season of the top 50 Pigskin Frenzy games of this season. 20 through 11 next Tuesday. Until Thursday, I'm Joel Norris and signing off. We will see you then for an NFL edition of Pigskin Frenzy. For everybody out there, stay the course.